Wise Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch national satellite radio program. We are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's day is March 27, 2014. With Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need help with anything after this program, please call me. If you need prayer, you can also call me for that, of course. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. Did I say that fast enough? Anyway, leave your message, your prayer request. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682, in an emergency. That's an emergency. I will give you my cell phone number. That's 316-619-4886. Try reaching me on that, and you can also, at our website, you can go over there, and there's an email address. You can email me your phone number, or if you don't want to talk on the phone, some people are funny. They don't want to talk on the phone, but they'll send an email. Feel free to send me an email. Just put attention, whatever, prayer request, or I heard you on the program or something in the subject line. Anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address, which is on our blog, which is prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And if you're one of the 15% of the folks that I hear out there do not use the internet, that you're listening on radio, well, feel free to call me for any type of question that you might have about tonight's program or whatever. Okay, now, prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest, and we're going to have more of an upbeat topic tonight, which will be a good change of pace for all of us. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor my guest's will. But please, Father, give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, what's coming out tomorrow, folks? I guess you would say you don't know? No, really. Tomorrow, the movie Noah comes out. And I think that's just what it's called. It's just straight Noah. But tonight we brought on a guest to talk about it. His name is Larry Stone. He's an author and publisher, and he wrote a book called The Story of the Bible. He was a finalist for both the ECPA Christian Book Award and Retailer's Choice Award, named one of the 10 best Christian books of the year by Assist News Service. He also wrote Women of the Bible. After helping build a successful book division of Thomas Nelson Publishers, he co-founded Rutledge Hill Press, best known for having published Life's Little Instruction Book, the only book to be number one on the New York Times bestseller list in hardcover and paperback at the same time. He's published more than a dozen New York Times bestsellers. He's a graduate of Moody Bible Institute, University of Hawaii. Larry has studied at the New York University Graduate School of Business Administration, taught writing seminars in Africa, America, and the Caribbean, and was recently executive director of KidShape, a nonprofit that helps overweight children and their families become more healthy. I'm all for everybody becoming more healthy. Anyway, recently Larry wrote a book, and it's called Noah, The Real Story. And we're bringing him on to talk about that book and the movie Noah and have an upbeat program, I pray, tonight. So welcome, Larry. Are you there with me?
I certainly am, Dan, and it's great to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you on, and as I was trying to, I went to your website, and I thought, well, I usually can glean a bio from, you know, a person's website. That was like just a real small percentage of what all you've accomplished on your website. So did I leave out anything of any great importance on your website about your bio?
You certainly covered a lot. Yes, you did. I have 10 grandchildren, and there's another 11 kids that call my wife and myself Grandma and Grandpa Stone. and they're very important in my life.
Amen. I know that feeling. I got a pass of grandchildren, you know. I have at least 15. I if my wife's here and I'm wrong, she'll get me on it. But she knows.
If it's okay, I was going to share one thing that happened to me this afternoon. One of my granddaughters has a Facebook page, and she had on there, just for general use, my grandma sends me a devotional, and here's what it said today, and it blessed me. And she went on and told what the devotional said. It was really cool.
Well, you're not going to tell us what it was?
It was what she said. What the devotional said was that sometimes we go after things that we know we think we want, but we know they're not good for us. And that what God wants us to do is to give up those things that we know aren't good for us, even though they're tempting to us.
Wow, amen. That's the story of life. I mean, you know, once that we become saved, we have to, you know, we give up our old selves, the flesh, and all that stuff that our flesh likes, and seek after Him. So, amen. That's really wonderful, you know.
You can't tell your kids that, and you can't tell your grandkids that. All you can do is watch God tell them that.
I most assuredly agree with that. I think I find it a little easier to teach grandchildren than children, you know. But anyway, so Larry, the movie's coming out tomorrow, Noah. You wrote a book called Noah, The Real Story. Is that a coincidence? Did you decide on the timing, or was you already planning a book?
No coincidence. About a year and a half ago, I heard that Darren Aronofsky and Paramount Pictures were going to come out with Noah, and I realized that people were going to be talking about Noah, and there's no story in the Bible that has as many facets to it that people want to know about. How big was the ark? How many animals were on the ark? Where is the ark today? And more importantly, what Jesus said about Noah and the ark. And so I knew that people were going to be talking about that. And even though we live in a culture where people respect the Bible, or at least they say they do, most of us don't know what the Bible really says. And so what I wanted to do in the book was to give the background of the Noah story to help people understand the background of what the movie's all about.
Well, I read your it's a wonderful book, folks, by the way. WorldNet Daily sent it to me, as I do sometimes, send me their things. And I picked it up, and I couldn't put it down until I was done. And I'm glad that it was, you know, I could have crashed a big, heavy book. But, you know, it's really not in great length, but it has a lot of wonderful information. Let's start first with the story. What's the generalization people have of Noah anyway, and what's so different?
Well, we don't know a whole lot about Noah. What we do know is that he was the grandson of Methuselah. Methuselah was the oldest person in the Bible, died when he was 969 years old. And interestingly, if you work the math, you'll find out that Methuselah died in the year of the flood. Now, we don't know if he just died an old man in the year of the flood or whether he actually drowned in the flood. But he was Noah's grandfather. Noah was the father of Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And he lived in a world that was wicked and evil, but he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God said, Noah, I want you to build an ark to save your family and two of each of the animals on the earth, each kind of animal on the earth. And Noah did, and it took him probably 60 to 80 years to build that ark. And then he and his family and the animals were on the ark for about a year, just a little bit over a year. And that's about all we know about Noah. There's some other little few details in the Bible, but not a lot.
Well, one detail that I find, as you told the story, you told the general story that they tell in church. They say, yeah, he brought the animals in two by two and so on and so forth, but they forget that. Actually, there were more clean animals than there were unclean animals. I think that's an important part of the story.
Absolutely. God said to bring in seven of the clean animals and seven of the birds. Now, the Bible scholars are undecided, in fact, equally divided, whether that means seven pair of the unclean of the clean animals or just seven of the animals. They're not sure about that. But I've read some people who objected and said, you know, back in Noah's time, God hadn't told people which were the clean animals and the unclean animals. Well, I don't think I believe that, but for sure, the time the story of Noah was written in the book of Genesis, God had already, by that time, told the children of Israel which were the clean animals and which were the unclean animals. So we know that the answer to that.
Yeah, amen. It's just, to me, that one little point shows the difference in what people, are they actually reading or are they just, you know, listening to the story? So why, did Noah's really happen or is it a fairy tale? What is it?
Well, I think it really happened. I mean, it really happened. The Bible says it did. And Jesus acts and talks as if it really did. And there's nothing in the scriptures to throw any aspirations or any question on the validity of the Noah story. And pretty much up until about 200, maybe 300 years ago, there wasn't a whole lot of question about the Noah story. People believed it, and people built science on the flood having transformed the earth. And it wasn't until about 200 or 300 years ago when people began to say, well, could the water really cover, now that we know there's a Mount Kilimanjaro and we know there's a Himalaya Mountains, could there have been enough water really to cover that much of the earth? Now, there's an answer to that. But over the next couple hundred years, geologists began to question the Noah story. And so that today, most mainstream geologists don't believe in a literal worldwide flood.
Well, isn't there, though, evidence of a universal flood?
Absolutely. There are over 300 flood stories all around the world. And in the book, Noah, the Real Story, I tell about half a dozen of those. There's stories from Africa. There's stories from Asia. There's stories from Europe. There's stories from South America. And the interesting thing is, although there's a lot of differences in them, and those are some of the interesting cultural differences, there's a lot of similarities, too. Dr. John Morris, who studied about 200 of these flood stories, said that if you took them all, they would generally say this. Once there was a worldwide flood, and about 95% of these flood stories talk about a worldwide flood, sent by God to judge the wickedness of man. And two-thirds of them say that's why the flood came. But there was one righteous family, about seven-eighths of these stories talk about one righteous family, was told ahead of time by God, most of them tell that, of the coming flood. They built a boat on which they survived the flood along with the animals, and two-thirds of these stories include the animals. And as the flood ended, the boat landed on a high mountain from which these people descended and repopulated the earth. And, you know, some people say, well, there's floods all over the earth, and maybe that's why there's so many flood stories. But what I think instead is that all of these flood stories, 300 of them around the world, are a collective memory in each of our cultures of one great worldwide flood.
Amen. I agree. You know, I'm pro, folks, for the record, even if I might not sound like it because I'm asking questions that you might ask, I 100% believe in Noah's flood and that it happened and it was very real. So absolutely, I agree with you. The book is really wonderful because the details that you go into that and sharing those different stories is really good. I want to kind of back up here again, though, but because I started off with bringing up the movie. So do you think that for a normal Christian, you know, that is it going to hurt a Christian's faith to go see this movie, or do you think the movie's accurate? Your thoughts?
Oh, you asked a couple of different questions there.
Well, take your time.
Two different questions. I don't know whether to say yes or no.
Well, expound. Do you think that the movie is destructive for a normal Christian?
Well, the movie is not written for a Christian audience. Now, that doesn't mean it's that in and of itself does not mean it's unchristian, but just realize this was written by two men who described themselves as not very religious Jewish guys from New York City. And it was written by Darren Aronofsky, who's also directed it, and Ari Heindel. And it was first came to light, the story, as a graphic novel published in French. They had written this graphic novel and published it. And on the cover of the graphic novel is a giant 11-foot-tall rock man with six arms. And if you ever go into a comic book store and see a graphic novel, it looked exactly like a lot of graphic novels. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem is that's the audience they were writing that story for back then. And I'll dare say that most of the people in adult Sunday school classes in our churches don't go to comic book stores and buy graphic novels. I'm not saying they're wrong. I just say it's a different audience than what most of us are. And so the movie was not written for evangelical Christians. So if you expect a Sunday school story, you won't get it. Now, if you want to go and see it, it's a fabulous adventure story. If you like Raiders of the Lost Ark, if you like Lord of the Rings, if you like the Titanic, you'll probably enjoy parts of Noah because it has that kind of feel to it. But if you expect it to be accurate biblically, you'll be disappointed. And one of the things that I did, I will recommend it, if you're going to go see it, the way to do it is to take some friends. This is what some folk in my church are doing. There's a bunch of us are going to go see the movie, and then afterwards are going to go over to somebody's house and have pizza and talk about it. So one of the things I did, I put on the website, which is www.noahtherealstory.com, is a discussion guide. And so there's about two dozen questions there that will help you get into asking and answering and discussing some of the issues around the movie. Now, there are things that are actually flat out wrong with
right.
the movie. and I'll give you one example. In the Bible, it talks about God's sending the flood because he was grieved. He looked on the human beings, mankind, and he saw evil. He saw violence. He saw wickedness. He saw sexual immorality. He saw people turning their backs on God. And the Bible says they thought evil, evil, evil from morning to night. And so he was so grieved of the wickedness and sinfulness of mankind that he sent a flood to destroy the earth. In the movie, however, God destroys the earth not because of man's moral evil, but because man has disrespected the environment. And that's something completely different. I'm not saying that we shouldn't disrespect the environment, but I'm saying that's not why God destroyed the earth back then.
Yeah, let me say something on the environment. I'm all for, I think that we should be good stewards of everything we have, including the earth. But environmentalism clearly wasn't the reason for the flood. And
that's
unless
right.
unless you could call mixing with the, and this is something I wanted to ask you. What, I think the movie's going to touch on it. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie, but there's an aspect that God's people mixed with the fallen angels, and I think they're going to touch on it in the movie. What, do you have any knowledge of that, or anything to say about that in particular?
They touch on it. They make, I won't say a big deal, but very prominent in the movie are these fallen angels. In the first four verses of chapter 6 of Genesis, there are peculiar four verses that Bible scholars aren't really sure or have talked about a lot without coming into conclusions what all that is meaning. And this is where it talks about the sons of God coming down to the daughters of men and having children that are giants. And the Hebrew word used there is Nephilim. Another word that has been used for these giants are watchers. And there's a couple other places in the book of Enoch, which is not part of Scripture, but something that was written a long time ago, that talks about these. It's also in the New Testament in a couple of places. It seems to apply in, this is in some of Peter's letters, which seems to refer to this. But generally speaking, we're not sure what the details of those four verses mean. Now, Aronofsky and Handel have taken these Nephilim, or these giants, or these fallen angels, if you will, and they have transformed them into those characters I was talking about that was on the front of their graphic novel. Mm-hmm. They're pictured as 11-foot-tall, rock-like-looking people without wings and glowing eyes, and they wind up helping Noah build the ark. It's a storyline that is not in the Bible at all, but they do prominently in the movie.
Helping Noah build the ark? Is that what you said?
That's exactly what I said.
Well, okay. You know what, folks? Let me say this. You know, I know the Noah story pretty well, and I know I've had a lot of guests on here talk about the Nephilim and, the giants and everything, and never have I ever seen anything in any book or anything, and that shocked me. Seems to me contrary to what the word's trying to put apart. If they were trying to get away from the Nephilim, which was wrong, or, fallen angels, how could they be helping them build the ark? So definitely needs to be discussed, wouldn't you say?
Yes, absolutely. What is important to realize is that this is not the story, and the details here are not the story that's in the Bible. This is a story that Ari Handel and Darren Aronofsky made up, inspired by what's in the Bible. Now, I can tell you some things that they got right. And
okay.
One of those is that we tend to think of the Noah story in very nice terms. I was over at my local Christian bookstore the other day and picked up a Bible story book and flipped through it and looked at the pictures of Noah and the ark. And here's a picture of Noah surrounded by animals looking sort of like a biblical Dr. Doolittle.
Let me stop you here for a moment because we have to go to break. In about 30 seconds, we're going to go to break. So, again, tell them where you can find what the website is. And I'll point out, folks, there is a guide over there that if you watch the movie, you can use this guide and it'll help you to talk about the program. Okay, why don't you go ahead and give that website?
www.noahtherealstory.com. That's the name of the book, the name of the website.
And the book is available besides WorldNet Daily. Where else is it? On Amazon?
Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and WorldNetDaily.com, or you can get it through the website.
Okay. Well, that's great, folks. I strongly suggest that you get the book. It's a great book. You'll want to share it. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
You've just heard the message. Pastor Dan will be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Studies
studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We need your help, as we really get no help from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that has supported us that we are now almost over with our 14th year. In fact, June will start our 15th year that we've been making this mission church work. In fact, you've been making it work. So why did so many people come to us for help? Well, love is the first answer. Treated as family is the second. Beyond that, we have no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask for help, and then if we have it, we fill their need. If not, we pray it in. And we say homeless and poor. Of course, the homeless are poor, but we're also talking about poor from all over the city that are coming in for help. And we're dramatically trying to get the woman's shelter open. We're about $4,000 short of that. And here come the first of the month. The winter overflow will shut down, and there will be about 18 or 20 women pushed out to the street. If we can get our woman's shelter open, we can take them all in. So pray about it. We're all responsible for one another, folks, as we are brother keepers. All donations, no matter what size, does help, and the Father notices all donations that come from your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com or simply call me at 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And now we're talking about the real Noah's Ark with Larry Stone and the movie. Are you there with me, Larry?
I certainly am, and I appreciate all you do for the homeless. That's wonderful.
Yeah, we were called to do it, we're getting ready to start our 15th year, and we've helped thousands upon thousands of people, and there's no one set thing that we do for them, other than we do feed and we do give first aid and things like that and clothing. But, people walk in and we individualize the need, whereas a lot of agencies, people walk into an agency and, they have set guidelines. And if they don't hit that specific guideline, well, what happens? Well, then they can't help them. And so, it's kind of broad stroke. But anyway, so thanks for saying that. Let me point out something. What my fear about this movie is the environmentalism, angle. While I do believe in being a good steward of our world and everything, I fear that they may try and change the story, so to speak, to put environmentalism as a sin, because so many are out there doing that right now. And I'll say this, and then I want your comments. And folks, I strongly suggest that as a Christian, you do watch the movie, because there's going to be a lot of non-Christians out there watching the movie, and so you do not need to do like Larry suggested, and as we did as a group. When we went and seen the Mel Gibson movie about Christ, we went as a group. Afterwards, we went back to the church and talked about it. In this case, you've got something help from Larry Stone. Okay, Larry, back to you.
Well, what I was going to say is, no question about it, that is the issue. Environmentalism is being projected and is being stated as a horrible sin. Not that I'm all for it. But I'm just saying that is the issue that Darren Aronofsky and Ari Handel think is at the forefront of today's world. And so that's why they made that an important part of their movie.
Well, that's pretty dramatic. I mean, while we're all supposed to be good stewards, I believe that they're using them. And I don't want to get too far off the Noah story, because there's so much left you can tell us. But I believe that their environmentalism, while it's not really a science, it's not proven, it's not close, they're using it to control the population, is what I believe.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that I want to mention is that Christ talks about Noah. And so that while, yes, there's things that we can debate about the movie, one of the things the movie is going to be doing is going to be giving us opportunity to talk to other people about the Noah story. And whether you talk about the animals or the flood or the ark or the search for the ark or any of that, and that's all in the book and it's all part of the story, one of the most important things, I think, is what I called in the book Noah's Secret for Surviving the End of the World.
And oh, amen.
Pardon?
Oh, I just said amen. I couldn't help it.
Yeah. And God told Noah, I'm going to send a flood. And Noah spent 60 to 80 years building the ark, and I think his neighbors probably thought he was a nut. I mean, if your neighbor started building a 450-foot-long boat in the back and said a flood's going to be coming, would you really believe him? Well, nobody believed Noah. And what Jesus said is, in the days of Noah, they just kept on doing whatever they were doing. And, in fact, the description of those times was a horrible, evil time. But they kept eating and drinking and getting married. And when the floods came, it was too late at that point to get on the ark. And they didn't believe Noah. And they thought he didn't know what he's talking about. And one of the interesting things about the movie, and I think it does get this right, and I was about to say this before we went to a break, is we tend to think of the Noah story as a nice story, and it wasn't. Everything was killed. Animals, farm animals, pets, people, everything. The message comes very dramatically. It says all of it dead. And that's not part of what we usually tell our children, at least in graphic terms. But in the movie, you will see the horror of everybody outside the ark dying as the floods come. But back to what I wanted to say about Noah's secret for surviving the end of the world. Jesus said, after he talked about the temple's going to be torn down, he said to his disciples, I'm going to come back. And when I come back, it's not going to be in disguise, if you will. It's not going to be like a baby. It's going to be in power and in glory. And you're going to be telling people that I'm going to come back, and people aren't going to believe you. And they're going to say, where's the promise of his coming? And you know what? Just like in the days of Noah, if you don't get on the ark before the flood comes, you're lost. And Jesus says, when I come back, it's going to be too late then to make the decision whether to follow me or not. You have to make that decision ahead of time. That is a powerful evangelistic point that we can make to our friends and neighbors as we talk about the Noah story.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you hit on a real important point. You know, folks, it is a terrible story in the sense that look at all those people. Look at it as if the flood happened right now. And, you know, I'm sure most people in this modern society where we interact with other people, we know a lot of non-Christians. Some of them might be our friends, neighbors. And you need to stop and think about, well, what about all those people? Could you want to sit there and watch those people being taken over by a flood? But it's the same thing. Those people are going to be shut out of the ark. And, you know, we really need to emphasize it. So, yeah, absolutely. I hope that we'll bring this to reality so that we will push forward and try to bring more into the kingdom. You're right. Absolutely.
And I don't think that was Paramount's intention in doing the movie, but they have given us a wonderful opportunity to tell not only the story in Genesis, but the story that Christ tells in the New Testament, and Peter, too. In his letters, he talks about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I most certainly agree with you. So, you know what a lot of people, I'm going to go back to your book a little bit. A lot of people will say, well, this person found the ark, or it's over here, it's over there. What do you think? Do you think it's anywhere in specific, or do you think any of these stories are credible? Shed some light.
There's some stories that are credible and some stories that are incredible. And I can tell you one of each. Most people think that the ark is on Mount Ararat, which is in eastern Turkey. 1,500 years ago, the tension primarily was on a mountain called Mount Judi, which is about 200 miles away from Mount Ararat. And in fact, there is, in the city right by Mount Judi, a tomb of Noah. But then also in the city right near Mount Ararat, there's a tomb of Noah. Mount Ararat rises 16,000 feet off the plains of eastern Turkey, and what makes it unusual is that most mountains that are that tall are surrounded by other mountains. So when I go out to the Rockies, I'll perhaps fly into Denver. Well, already I'm 5,280 feet up when I land out there. So the mountains, although they may be 16,000 feet, aren't 16,000 feet up from Denver. On the plains of eastern Turkey, you've got this great big mountain coming up. There's been earthquakes there, and there's a story of a monk in about 300 A.D. that found a piece of the ark. Actually, the story is that the angel gave him a piece of the ark, and he built a monastery there on the mountain. And the piece of the wood that he was given by the angel is actually still in a cathedral over there. But in 1840, there was a tremendous earthquake that destroyed the town and the monastery and all the records that were in that monastery that he built. But since that earthquake, there's been a number of people who have said they have seen the ark. One of the more interesting ones was in the early 1900s, an Armenian father took his son, Georgi, up to see the ark, I think actually twice. About 10 or 15 years after that, in the 1920s, I believe it was, the Turkish people began to persecute, and actually it's a form of genocide, but persecuted the Armenian people, and many fled over to the United States. And Georgi just sort of felt that, well, seeing the ark is something that he and, you know, some of his other friends had done. Well, when he got over here, when he turned about 70, somebody actually met him that found out they really wanted to know his story. And so an artist named Alfred Lee sat down with him and painted a picture of the ark as Georgi described it to him. And that picture is in the book. And so there's many people that have said they have seen the ark. In fact, there's some people that have even taken pictures of the Ark. And I'll tell you a very strange story about one of those.
Okay.
In the 1950s, a gentleman named George Green, who was worked in oil exploration, was over in northern Iran and Turkey, and had heard the stories about the Ark, and so he hired himself a helicopter, actually had access to one. It was a warm summer, and he and the pilot flew all around Mount Ararat and saw the Ark. And he went down, and he took pictures of it, and came back to the United States with his pictures. He also very carefully took the coordinates of where it was that the Ark was located. And he came back to the United States, and he wanted to raise money to go back and find the Ark on the land because the helicopter had never landed. They'd just done all this from the air. And so he went around and probably showed these pictures to 50, 60, 70 people. At least 30 people have been interviewed and said, yes, I have seen those pictures. And one man even drew what they were like. Well, George Green still had to do his business, and so he left all these pictures with a friend of his, and then in the early 60s came back and got them. And he wound up going down to British Guiana to do some work in a gold mine. And the last we know of George Green was when he was found face down in the swimming pool of the hotel he was in British Guiana. We don't know for a fact that he was murdered. Police went into his room, and there was nothing taken except for the fact that the contents of his briefcase were all gone. His briefcase was empty.
Really?
And for the last 50 years, nobody has seen the photos of George Green. Do we think they were in his briefcase? We just don't know. There's some more details to that story. It gets even a little weirder, but essentially, we don't know where those photos are.
Right, right. Well, that's really an interesting story. There is a lot. We even have some people that say it's been found on the mountains of Ararat right now, and so it's a subject that, you know, I think it, you know, leaves open for people to really explore. But it's a great, it goes back to that. It's also a great witness tool. You know, like, why did God destroy the earth?
Yes, yeah. Well, the Armenian tradition is, and Ararat is right in the middle of where the Armenian people live, but the Armenian tradition is that God has hidden the Ark and will not let it be revealed until the end of time, when it will become revealed to an unbelieving world.
Yeah, so, absolutely. I was just going to say that it, like you and say on your page, it would be the greatest. It would be one of the greatest witnesses you could even imagine for the Ark to be found and revealed. I think something that bears touching on, and we've got probably about another 8 minutes of the program, is the fact of the rainbow. You know, so many. I see the rainbow being distorted by so many different things, and even the gay movement and things that people take away. Well, it is. Well, what is it? Tell the folks what the rainbow really is.
Well, when Noah got off the ark, God made a covenant with Noah, and he said that never again will I destroy the world by a flood. Now, certainly there's floods around the world, and certainly there have been floods that have destroyed parts of the world, but never again will I destroy the entire world by a flood. And a sign of that, the sign of my covenant, is the rainbow, so that every time you see a rainbow, you can realize God has made a covenant with us. He has made a relationship with us, and this is a sign that he will not destroy the world again. And interestingly, you know, we talked about those 300 flood stories around the world. There's quite a number of them in which the rainbow plays an important part in those stories, too.
Well, that's amazing. And the stories, and especially the folks, the way that they're put across in the book, the different stories, there's no way, is there, Larry, that one religion could have known all these other facts to make them come together like that. That's amazing.
Well, and I'll tell you one interesting. I had this diagram, it's not a diagram, but an explanation in the book. The Chinese language, they don't use ABC like we do. Their characters are pictograms, or at least they started out as pictograms. So rather than a H-O-R-S-E for a horse, you'll draw a little picture of a horse.
Mm-hmm.
The pictogram for large boat is a picture of a boat, the number 8, and people. It just happens to be the number of people on the ark.
Wow.
And I don't think that's entirely coincidental.
That's simply amazing.
Yeah.
Do you have any other examples that you'd like to share?
Some other examples of
ancient, of what the ancient stories were about, or whatever you want. We've got about 4 minutes left.
Well, what's really interesting is that about in January, I think it was, there was all a lot of news about a tablet that was on exhibit in the British Museum. And the headlines jumped to some conclusions, and they said Noah's Ark was round. Well, the headlines were flat out wrong. But what this is a, I'll just go ahead and explain it, is a tablet that was on display about the size of a cell phone. And this was an ancient Assyrian tablet that described a boat that was to be built by Zeusudra, who was an Assyrian king. And this is an ancient Assyrian flood story. Now, I mentioned there's a lot of flood stories. And, for instance, the Chippewa flood story has the animals and the people being saved in a canoe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in Assyria, what they describe the animals and the person being saved in is a round boat. And so to make the jump that, no, the ark was round is really not right. Zeusudra's boat was round. Noah's is long and thin. You'll find a lot of headlines that really get it wrong.
Yeah, that sounds like a Discovery Channel thing. It was like they had and it's kind of off the subject, but it's on. But they were talking about the Ark of the Covenant, and my son was watching it pretty intently, my 13-year-old. And I said, at the end, while they're telling a lot of stories about this one, it might have found it here or there, whatever. I said, in the end, I said, it's going to be dramatically dumb. In the end, they tried to put across that the Ark of the Covenant was a drum. Like that you beat on, and the guy supposedly found it, and I went, really? Does he read his Bible or what?
Yeah. Well, one interesting thing is, I'm glad you mentioned the Ark of the Covenant. The English Bible uses the word Ark for the Ark of the Covenant and for Noah's Ark, but those are two entirely different words. In Hebrew, they have no relation whatsoever. The word used for Noah's Ark is only used one other place in the Bible, and that's where the boat or whatever it was that Miriam put the baby Moses in. And those two words are the same. So we're not really quite sure what that word Teva in Hebrew means, whether it means a boat, whether it means something that saves somebody from destruction, whether it means something covered with pitch, or what. But the Ark of the Covenant and Noah's Ark are very different things, and they use different Hebrew words. It's just confusing in English.
Well, I think I want to go back to the point that you mentioned, that, Yeshua, or Jesus Christ, rather, as you put it, did point out the story. And, folks, we need you to understand that this story isn't just a fairy tale. And if Yeshua pointed to it, it really has importance for our time. And so, you want to elaborate a little more on that? And we got about 2 minutes left, and we say parting words.
Well, that's right. And Jesus said, just as in the days of Noah, when the people that did not make the decision to believe what he said and get ready before the flood came, when the flood came, it was too late. And just in the end times, I'm coming back, said Jesus. And at that point, it will be too late to make the decision. C.S. Lewis is usually thought of as a very intellectual person. But he wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, for instance. But I end the book, and I'm going to just, if you don't mind, just quote part of this. This is
part of the
radio program that he gave. He said, Christians think that Jesus is going to land in force. We do not know when, but we can guess why he is delaying. He wants to give us a chance of joining his side freely. I do not suppose you and I would have thought much of a Frenchman who waited until the Allies were marching into Germany and then announced he was on the Allies' side. God will invade the earth, and when that happens, it is the end of the world. God is going to invade, all right, but this time it will be God without disguise, something so overwhelming that will either strike either irresistible love or irresistible horror into every creature. It will be too late then to choose your side. It will be the time when we discover which side we have really chosen, whether we realize it before or not. Now, today, this moment is our chance to choose the right side. God is holding back to give us that chance. It will not last forever. We must take it or leave it. And good old C.S. Lewis, I've never heard a better sermon than that one.
Amen. But that's amazingly accurate. You know, I see these movies and things like this. I just pray that one day, because we do have this medium and the way to make things dramatic, that maybe the Father will use somebody that dramatically they will make something that is accurate. And that we can use. But in the meantime, we can use your book, and we can use your book with this movie. Tell them the website, and then I'm going to have to say goodbye to you, brother.
Dan, I pray that the book and the website, www.noahtherealstory.com, will be used to help your listeners to discuss the movie and to talk about it with their neighbors. And best thing in the world, even if somebody came to know the Lord through it.
Yes, amen. All right, well, thanks for being on with me, brother. Goodbye and shalom to you.
Thank you, Dan.
All right. Folks, Noah, therealstory.com, of course, where if you're listening to this program in archives, you're listening to it live, wherever it's posted in archives, there on our website, there will be a link to the book, of course. Now I'm really seeing another picture. If we as Christians do need to get out and watch this movie, because if they're going to come back and they're going to say, well, look, yeah, we believe in Noah's Ark now. It's all about environmentalism. Hey, and then fallen angels, well, those angels, they helped build the Ark. Well, you know, what's that going to leave them open to? You know, people that we're fighting to save their souls in the end time. And I believe it will be as in the days of Noah, and the fallen angels will make a reappearance, and they have already been doing so. But they'll try to, I'm sure they will try to portray themselves as good. We're here to help you. We're here to help you. Well, didn't you see it in the movie, folks? In Noah's day, we helped him build the ark. Well, if they helped him build the ark, why didn't they get on the ark? You realize that? So we need to get out and see this movie. Go see it where you can have some other people critically talk about it with you. And, you know, maybe even go read it in church the night before. That sounds like a good idea to do. Go read it in church. Talk about it in church. In fact, that's what we're going to do tomorrow night at church. We're going to talk about Noah and the Ark so that the real story comes out before anybody that could touch our congregation would, in fact, go see it on their own. So do that with your own. I strongly suggest it. Share this program with others. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. It's coming towards the end of the month, and we haven't caught up all our everything from last month. The women are not going to have a place to sleep out there in Wichita. We need to get our shelter open. So pray about it. Any kind of donation will help. $5, $10, $20, $100, $1,000. Just pray about it. We need your help, and tonight or whenever you hear this. But, folks, the most important part is that you must remember there is only one God. That is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him and only through him is the way to the Father. Remember to love your neighbors as yourself and to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. And that is first. All right. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you and gives you peace. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.